What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Dustin Brown. How are you, dude?
Pretty good, man. You doing all right?
Yeah, man. It's good to finally talk to you. I guess just before we hop into anything, let's just start out with let us know like what you're up to right now. I know, obviously, 2026 just kicked off. Just let us know what's going on with any shows, maybe, or music or anything like that.
Yeah, as we record this, tomorrow we'll be at Three Links in Dallas. That's kind of fun. We're going to have some buddies in out there doing like a little evening. And that's the exact moment. I'm actually, I was telling you before we got on the call, I'm on 4G out in the middle of Stephenville, Texas, at New Usual. We're recording another album. So exciting stuff.
Heck yeah, that's exciting. Yeah, man, right on. So before we dive into too much, I guess just to let's like kind of start back at the beginning a bit, man, just so people could get to know you a little bit. So you're based in Texas, right? Is that where you've been or you grew up and everything?
Yeah, I grew up in Texas, lived kind of all over. I was in Louisiana for 5 years after, you know, kind of my adult life side of things. Lived in Philadelphia, traveled around, things like that. So.
Awesome. Well, can you kind of, when you came up in the scene or whatever scene it was that you came up in, can you kind of describe where it was at the time? Like maybe who was, like maybe who you ran around with, who you really came up with, kind of like that?
I mean, as far as who I've been coming up with, I will start with kind of the influences and stuff. I guess, you know, I was listening to one of your episodes with Jeremy Purnell, and it was like, is that you say his last name, right? Yeah. And y'all talking about, you know, Jason Boland and everything. And yeah, man, right here, actually where I'm at right now at, you know, New Usual's at Melody Mountain Studio, which is on, you know, the Larry Joe Taylor, like, grounds or whatever. And I mean, we came out here for like 10 years before I ever even really started pursuing music again, like on my own. But yeah, you know, Jason Boland, the Stragglers, Ryan Bingham, you know, Hayes Carl, Reckless Kelly. All them guys, you know, Cross Canadian Ragweed back when I was in high school, I got like their lyrics tattooed on my back, you know, thought I was so cool. But, yeah, that kind of, I would say like the Texas country red dirt thing definitely showed me that there was like another side to stuff. And then as far as me getting, I've been doing it since kind of like started writing when I was a little kid. And then in high school, we kind of have a band and stuff. And I strayed away from it after that and came back, you know, pretty heavy into it around 2018. And so during that time, you know, there was like, you know, Tanner Usry was running around. We were just playing little things together, doing little showcases and whatnot. You know, Cat Hasty, it's another big name out of there. And so people like that was kind of who I was around when I first got back into it. Giovanni and the Hired Guns, you know, we did like a showcase together right out here.
Actually. Yep.
So yeah, like yep. Right when I got into it, a lot of those folks were starting to take off. So yeah, here we are.
Yeah, man. I've been lucky enough to get to know a lot of the guys and gals in the Texas and the red dirt scene, and I could say, just at least from my experience, being able to talk to them and hang with them on some occasions, like it really does seem like a family culture. You know, like, I know that could sound a little cliche, but it really does seem like everyone is looking out for each other. It feels really tight knit. I wonder, like, is that kind of how you think too?
Yeah, I mean, as long as you're in those cliques for sure, or those, you know, those families, everybody, there's several little families and stuff, but yeah, everybody takes care of each other pretty well. And yeah, you got to find your people for sure, you know. But I think being,
man, from
Texas,
sure.
There's like that joining of us, you know, that, you know, as long as you're from Texas and you're kind of doing the thing, like, I guess there's that camaraderie no matter where you're at. So,
yeah, for sure. And I want to talk a bit about your sound, man, because like obviously it has the Americana feel, the singer songwriter aspect, of course. And I think nowadays, like, people are a little they don't put artists into certain genres as much as they used to, which I think is a great thing. They don't like box artists in to sound like a certain way. Can you kind of describe your own sound and like your own style, what you would call it maybe, or how would you describe it?
You know, back in the day, I was really kind of aiming towards the cosmic country, you know, cosmic folk kind of thing. And, really just trying to fight against the idea that I was country or Americana, I guess, for no particular reason other than just trying to be different, I guess. But yeah, but I think now, you know, firmly sit kind of in the Americana, and I'm very happy and comfortable and honored to be part of it. You know, we made 37 on the charts this past year with the album, and so yeah, I guess I'm officially Americana, you know. So
well, I mean, like the cool thing with your stuff that when I was listening to it is that it isn't just that. Like yeah. It is like it's different things, and I think that's what holds me as a fan. That's what holds me over, you know, to the next release for any artist. It's like, you know, you have bands like AC/DC, they have their formula, but they're also AC/DC, right? So, yeah. So it's cool when you see like new artists, you know, not be afraid to play whatever the hell they want and be able to pull it off too. So when you do write or record or whatever, do you find yourself experimenting a lot with different styles or anything like that? Or is it just all natural, just comes out of you without you even really trying?
Yeah, I mean, the songwriting definitely kind of comes out, the best songs in me without trying, you know. When I sit down and really try to think about something too much or have a concept, I always screw it up. But, you know, when feeling a certain way and stuff just falls on the table, it usually is the best songs. And then in the studio, yeah, we definitely, it's funny because right now it's what we're doing. The last record was a little more mainstream, at least as far as our ears are concerned. And then this one, we're kind of, yeah, we've got a slide guitar out right now and we got real wonky, weird shit. And we're just making, you know, crazy sounds and things. So yeah, I like to get a little experimental and just I think it's a lack of skill, you know, honestly. So I try to cover that up with a bunch of flavor weird shit and write weird and, you know, maybe catch people's ears off guard, because if I tried to do it the right way and I wouldn't be able to, you know, hang with the best of them. So
right, yeah this is something I've been thinking about a lot lately, and I've been asking some artists, is that when you write a song, how do you know, you personally, when you write, when a song is done, when you're finished with it? I feel like it could be easy, maybe, I don't know, I'm not a songwriter, but I feel like it could be easy to overdo a song, maybe, until you're like, all right, we put too much on it, or, and then obviously, like, we didn't put enough into it. How do you know, like in your head, when a song is finished and ready to go?
Once again, kind of with the everything starts with just kind of the writing process. And for me, it's, I don't know, you just feel it, you know. It's I mean, you try not to vibe out to your music too much, but, you know, if you can sing up to a certain point in the song and you feel satisfied and satiated, at least for me, I'm like, all right, that's done. Then you get in the studio and yeah, I mean, it's not like we're running on tape anymore, so we do sometimes just throw a bunch of stuff at it, and then we'll be like, nah, take that off, take that. it's just a feeling thing for me. But also, you know, I used to write songs when I was younger that would go out to 5 and 6 minutes long, and not that we're really trying to fight for the radio spots anymore the way we used to with like the whole 3.5 minute thing. But, you know, I think our attention spans are definitely a little warped these days, and it better be damn compelling if you're going to keep it out to 4 or 5 minutes, you know. And I've tried at least to say the same amount of stuff that I would have taken me 4 or 5 minutes in that 2.5 or 3.5 minutes, just to like kind of challenge myself, and less is more, you know.
Yeah. And you kind of hit on it there too, like how nowadays it's a little, our attention spans, especially my generation, are much smaller now, shorter. And might as well hit on that while we're talking about it, kind of. As time's gone on in your career, and as you, like, you know, over the years released music and everything, have you found it easy to kind of adapt with, like, the social media, TikTok shit, the streaming, everything? Has that been something you've been able to kind of, like, adapt with, or has that been a challenge? It's usually different for a lot of people.
Yeah, no, I'm as you're probably picking up from this conversation, I can be a little bit of an awkward person, especially behind a camera, you know. So pointing the camera at myself to make TikToks is never goes well. Actually, you know, when everybody was doing that trend where they're asking ChatGPT to like rate their social media, you know, and it said something on there like, all right, you know, this and that's good, but the bad is, you know, like quit, like I can't remember how to word it, but basically quit like creepily staring into the camera for all your videos. And I was like, damn, I went through my page, like, it's kind of right. I am just like staring off into nothing. Like, so no, I'm not very good at social media. And I'll be honest, like, we were kind of started our communications there. And like I told you, these days I don't keep them on my phone. I've got an old phone and then a tablet that I keep the apps on, just so I don't, not tempted to be a consumer rather than a producer. Cause I delete them all together, but they do help a little bit, but also I've maybe had two people out of all my years of playing come to a show and be like, oh, I saw this post on Instagram and that's why I'm here. You know, like usually you can ask other musicians, you ask them if they don't pay for the ads, it's always like, you'll see the show poster like 2 or 3 days after, or maybe even the next day after the shows actually happen. Is like, I'll notice it with my friends too. And I'm like, I feel like they got an algorithm. They're watching for like that promotional stuff. And they're like, no, we're not going to give you that for free. So I don't know. I keep the social medias up at this point, post some things and just keep something going, I guess. But I don't know if my social medias really do a whole lot for my music, honestly.
Yeah. It's just kind of, you know, it kind of sucks that that's such like a, just not you specifically, but just the music industry, like in general, I feel like a lot of it does just, it comes from the TikToks and stuff, which could be, you know, I'm sure some people love it. Some people hate it. It is very annoying. I wish we could go back to CDs and shit, but like that was, you know, like that's, you know, how I grew up with it. But anyway, let's talk, you brought your like shows and stuff up. Let's talk a bit about your live show, because kind of going off that as well, my, what brings me in as a fan and keeps me as a fan a lot of times are the live shows. And, this is kind of a bland question, but like, how would you describe your live show? And like, do you think that same way too? Like, I think live show is like probably, in my opinion, like the most important thing. I'm kind of curious on what you would think about that.
Yeah. I think it's artist by artist. You know, there's some music that I probably won't even ever go see them play live, but I love listening to it while I'm working on something or while I'm in the car, you know. And then there's people like, you know, like some really good singer-songwriters, you know, that you can listen to their albums all day and it'll never like hit. Like David Ramirez, he's one of those, man. Like albums, you know, like they're good, they're great, they're fantastic. But if you haven't seen him live, like you haven't seen him, like it's, I don't know, you'll be crying like two songs in, just like everyone around just like tearing up and stuff. Cause there's so much emotion that somebody like that can convey, opposed to like, you know, a big pop production, you know, show at a stadium where it's like, that's my band that I love, but this actually would sound better in my headphones, you know, and it does, you know, cause it's in this big stadium or something. I'm not feeling the connection. So yeah, I think it's 50-50. And As far as we're concerned, I think I fall into that camp of, I've had people tell me like, man, the new record, this and that, but man, you play that song, I like when you just play it by yourself, acoustic or whatever, you know? So yeah, I think there's a connection, at least for me too, as the performer, I feel that connection when the crowd's right and the room's right. So definitely love performing and conveying that side of the story. So.
Yep. For sure. Before we move on to like your specific releases and stuff, obviously we're going to talk a bit about Ballerina, which love it. I loved it. It was great. And obviously you worked with Billy Hartman and Rachel Cole on that. And can we talk a bit about like co-writing and collabing? Do you do a lot of that stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. We I used to not, but I'm getting more and more comfy with it these days. So.
Yeah, and a bit about that, man. Like I feel like is that something like a big hump to get over? Like when you're so used to writing just on your own to when you like get into the room with another person, was that like kind of a challenge, or how was that process for you to get used to?
Yeah, it's definitely a process, and you know, I think for a long time my music was really personal to me, and it still is, but you kind of get over yourself a little bit, I think, and just make a lot of friends and realize that they're doing the same thing and they're laid to bear as well. Like, I still don't think I could ever do it like Nashville style and just plop me in a room with strangers and say, all right, we're going to write about this, that, and the other. But, you know, once I befriend somebody and we get real close, yeah, it's easy. You talk on the phone and vent about all your problems anyway, you might as well go write them down. And that's kind of how, you know, Ballerina happened, or like, you know, there's a song of mine, I Was Still There, that I did with Tribe and King. And that one started as really like, he was like, hey man, like, you know, I just dig your vibe and, you know, I dig his. And it was like, well, let's just get in and hang out and see what happens. And then at the time, like, I was going through some stuff and he was going through some stuff, as you probably heard this story before, you know, and it just worked out and we ended up with this song. And then too, just on the side of co-writing, like, it was a song that I was like, man, that felt good. That felt, you know, therapeutic and all that. And I really didn't expect that it was do much, or like, you know, because it's just slow three chord song kind of thing. And which I love, but they just don't, you know, unfortunately. Yep. And then, yeah, that song, it's like, it's gotten up there pretty high now, and people share it around and listen to that. So it opens you up to a whole new audience, and his audience was open to mine and mine to his. And same thing with Presley Hale. I had her come in on a song of mine that people have always loved, and I had her coming in to sing on it. I was like, well, shit, why don't you write a verse too? So she threw a verse to it. It was an old song, but she gave it a whole new view kind of through that lens. And you know, so yeah, the co-writing stuff is fun. You can definitely open up some new doors that you didn't know were there.
Right on. And kind of going back to Ballerina a bit, how did you, just because, you know, it's your newest one, how did you get in touch with Billy and Rachel? I guess it was just like a previous friendship. Like, how'd you guys get connected for this song?
Yeah. Me and Billy, we also met out here kind of in the Stephenville scene some years ago. And he was playing upright bass for a guy named, it was going by Buck Buffalo. And I wanted an upright bass. So I reached out for him. And he was like, man, I'm only just doing the bass for him. Like, I'm trying to get away from it. You know, I'm a singer songwriter. I'm like, oh, let's check your shit out, you know? And then, yeah, I was like, damn, he's one of the real ones, like, in the area, in my opinion. I think Billy Hartman's one of the best songwriters, at least in, you know, the Central Texas area for sure. And, you know, makes me shake in my boots a little bit when it comes to writing. So that's the people I want to be around. And yeah, we kind of just became friends over that. And that's already been, you know, probably back 2018, 2019, so 6-7 years. And then Rachel, when we were doing the last album, the current album, I knew I wanted, you know, some female backing vocals and stuff on it. And we tried a few different people out and it just wasn't fitting, you know, because I've got a little more rasp in my voice or whatever. And their voices were like phenomenal, but too phenomenal. It's like really pretty and then really grungy for me over here. So I was kind of on the hunt for somebody. And then I saw one of her videos because of another friend of mine, Joel Allen, who he plays guitar for me and all everybody around here and writes his own stuff too. Just dropped a single, actually. Look up Joel Allen. But he had posted something with her and I was like, dude, who the hell is that? Like, her voice is exactly what I'm looking for. So we had her come in on the last record. She knocked it out. She sings on Hard Hats, River Road, Heartless, and one other one, Old Houses. And so, yeah. Then when we did this song, it was kind of a no-brainer. It's like, man, let's get a, you know, she's got like a real Lucinda Williams thing kind of going on, like Sarah Farrell, Lucinda Williams, you know, that kind of vein. I'm like, I like this. So very, a lot of character in her voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. It turned out great. And before we move on from that, like, can you kind of explain like any themes or like the story behind the song?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a funny thing about co-writing is like, at least the way we did it, we just kind of like started throwing some words and things around and probably our moods at the moment. And it got reiterated and rearranged a bunch of times. But I think the underlying kind of message is kind of maybe this love triangle that be between, you know, maybe not necessarily the voices in the song represent two men and a woman, you know, but I think really the love triangle is more with, you know, this Penny Lane maybe character and the road, you know, whether she's a carny or a musician or whatever. And then there's the road dog guy that she fell in love with. And then there's that same guy who wants to, you know, go settle down somewhere in a small Texas town like Selma or, you know, or Stillwater. You know, she ain't quite ready for that kind of thing. So it's kind of, I think the song really kind of came out. It's the romance about the road and music and, you know, the ugly truths of it sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's a great song. I'm glad I came across it for sure. But, so obviously, you know, the year just started. And before we get out of here, man, this is another bland softball question, but is there anything for the year 2026, like goals, long-term, short-term, anything you really want to accomplish this year?
Yeah, sorry about this light, man. Trying to give you some light here.
No, you're point. Good. You're good.
we're out in the middle of nowhere. Sun went down on me. Yeah, this year because the album just kept on growing. You know, it's the first album I've had that's really like I said, reached some milestones for sure. And the exciting thing about it is like it had its release pop, and then it's just stayed steadily growing, which has been really nice. And so yeah, I've got a whole new gear kicked back in, and like I said, we're recording right now some acoustic stuff. It'll be a little more moody, kind of psychedelic cosmic country, like singer-songwriter cosmic. And then I've got I got another batch that's going to be pretty straightforward, like singer-songwriter stuff with like more traditional fiddles and stuff like that. And then we're going to go down back to Jimmy Nutt in Muscle Shoals in July and record another full band album that'll resemble kind of in the vein of the one we just did. So basically this year is, unless I might release a one-off single, I think this year is just record like crazy. And then by 2027, you know, we'll just have a bunch to pump out. We can take a breath, you know, hopefully keep this train going and keep it growing, you know?
Hell yeah. Dustin, dude, thanks a lot. I'm glad we could do this. I'll let you go so you're not stuck in your truck anymore.
Oh, no, you're not keeping me.
it's cool. What about like shows or anything like that coming up? Anything you guys got coming up in that vein?
Yeah, man, you know, as we used to play all the time, and then post COVID, we still played a lot, and it just got, you know, worse and worse and worse. And we released the last album, and we're kind of like, all right, this is the farewell. And now that it's doing good, we're, you know, we're trying to strum some shows back up. But we're still playing, like, our regular haunts. Like I said, we play Heiko Hall out in Heiko, Texas. You can catch me there quite often. And, you know, I guess at the moment, aside from that, it's pretty empty calendar. We got three links tomorrow, but they're in Dallas and Deep Ellum. But, yeah, we're trying to – so, yeah, maybe people that listen to your podcast, maybe this could be my selfless plug. You know, we're trying to find some management to kind of get us out of the beer and barbecue league, you know, that we've been in for so long that – because, you know, that nothing wrong with that, but it's more of like a cover market, and we're really trying to focus on our original set and open up for people with more established audiences and just try to, like, you know, go where they want to hear singer-songwriter original music instead of just being in the corner and getting paid nothing, you know, like, you know, we'd rather play for free to a real crowd than kind of doing what we did. So no, that's a long way of saying that the show calendar has slowly over the past like 2 or 3 years has gotten smaller and smaller. Just refocusing on like making good albums and trying to get some representation or management to get us out there doing, you know, doing some bigger stuff, I guess. But
yeah,
we're around. We play a little stuff around Texas.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I can't wait to hear what you guys got coming. Ballerina, like I said, loved it. I went and re-listened to your last album too from last year a few times this past week, and man, it's great. And I can't wait to see what's to come, dude. Where can people find? Is it Dustin Brown Songs or something? I could have butchered that. I have no idea.
Oh, you nailed it. Because there was already a Dustin Brown Music, and then the other two Dustin. There's a famous hockey player and tennis player if you Google it. So. Yeah, I put the songs on the end. So it's Dustin Brown Songs. Not as in that's my name either, but, you know, just Dustin Brown Songs. But on that's www. And then that's the @ for all the things, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. I have a TikTok. I haven't been on it in a long time. It might be hacked. So no telling. Hopefully they've racked up a bunch of followers or something. But yeah, that's where you can find me. It's Dustin Brown Songs.
Right on. You guys make sure to do that. It is definitely worth the listen. And also check out Ray's Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. We're on everything as well. Google us will pop up. So Dustin, thanks a lot. Very happy we could do this. And everyone, thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next time.
Thank you.
My boots look good on your bed. And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you